Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, I've been hearing the news reports all morning long here. Do I even want to turn on the TV and see the video footage? Do I want to see the video of what sounds like war on American streets here? You know, when Donald Trump was president, we were starting to see peace agreement between Israel and all of these Arab countries. And now not only do we have a war in Ukraine, thanks to this weakness from the Biden administration, we've got more war in the Middle East. And yet these people who claim to be in support of peace are creating war on American streets. Hey, Aaron Flint here. We've got the phone lines open for you for this full hour here on Montana Talks. I want to kick things off, though. I was able to catch up with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines to get his reaction to just these despicable campus protests that have been taking place by these pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers all across America. And yes, tragically, even right here in Montana. I was able to catch up with Senator Steve Daines in the very early morning hours Wednesday. Here's part of what we talked about. United States Senator Steve Daines. Senator, it's just getting even crazier out there.
You know, what we're seeing across our country and the college campuses is it's terrible. It's shocking. You know, these protests are rooted in hate. They're rooted in anti-Semitism. I'm just going to call it the hypocrisy of the left. You think about these elite colleges, Aaron. They tout diversity and inclusion as long as Jewish students and faculty are excluded. This is a dangerous ideology. We've always called them out on their diversity, equity, inclusion issues because there's an underlying philosophy there, and that is they only will accept you and include you if you agree with them. They really don't believe in diversity, which means diversity of worldview, of faith, of political views. And it's being exposed right now really as a far-left ideology. It's dangerous, and it has to be confronted. We need full-throated condemnation by every elected leader in America.
Yeah, it's so crazy, and I don't know what might happen at the University of Montana campus today, but we've even seen some of these, you know, pro-Hamas sympathizers. You know, they were protesting the Donald Trump Jr. event the other day on the University of Montana campus, but sounds like that nonsense isn't taking too much hold, but they're trying to cancel classes, trying to cancel finals or disrupt classes and disrupt finals. So hopefully this doesn't take root here in Montana.
Aaron, you know, one of the things we need to do, and I joined my Republican colleagues, by the way, no Democrats have joined us in this effort, and that is defunding these colleges and universities that are promoting anti-Semitism.
All right, let's hold it right there. Only about 2 or 3 minutes more with Senator Steve Daines from that quick conversation catching up early yesterday morning. And then I've got some information to share following these despicable protests that also took place at the University of Montana campus, albeit in much smaller numbers yesterday.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Did you guys see this tweet from Bill Malusian? Bill Malusian is a Fox News radio correspondent. He's been doing incredible reporting on the southern border invasion that's been taking place. Now he's talking about maybe one of the other side effects of that border invasion. He's been also covering these pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizer riots and protests taking place on college campuses. Yesterday afternoon, about 12:45 Montana time, he shared this tweet. Fox News has obtained a Google document with a list of needs that protesters at the UCLA camp are requesting. So these people had taken over the UCLA campus. Now, of course, since that time, law enforcement finally has been allowed to go in and try to start clearing these camps. after a big brawl and melee occurred there. But these protesters take over the campus. They start bringing in baseball bats, 2x4s, gas masks. Peaceful protesters, right? Needed gas masks, and then finally, the leadership of UCLA has allowed law enforcement to go in and clear them out. But before that happened, these occupiers had a list of demands. They were demanding vegan and gluten-free food. Apparently, they all have celiacs, every single one of them, so they all need gluten-free food. But they were demanding vegan food. They wanted super bright flashlights with strobes. Why would they want super bright flashlights? So they could, you know, find the latrine at night? No. We know why they wanted super bright flashlights. It's because they have been flashing these super bright flashlights and strobes. They were shining them in the faces of law enforcement earlier this morning, trying to blind these men and women so they couldn't come in and disrupt their riotous little pro-terrorist little encampment. They wanted rope and zip ties. Why did they want rope and zip ties? They wanted helmets, shields, and wood. They wanted knee and elbow pads. In other words, they were basically, I think John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, made this point. In other words, these so-called peaceful protesters on these college campuses, they're demanding the same type of humanitarian aid that the Hamas terrorists have been demanding to receive inside the Gaza Strip after they slaughtered 1,400 innocent people. Anyway, Senator Steve Daines made a great point about all of these left-wing, so-called Ivy League campus institutions that are getting so much of your money.
We took a look at the amount of federal funding going to, let's say, Columbia, $1.2 billion last year. UCLA, in excess of $1 billion. Yale, $776 million. Harvard, $676 million. UT Austin, which is a scene of many of these terrible protests in the last couple of days, $646 million. We need to stop the federal funding to these universities that are not stopping anti-Semitism, as well as the philanthropists that are back in these universities. As we saw, I think Mr. Kraft said he's pulling back his donations to Columbia.
That's
we need
right.
to join this effort to defund these institutions.
Yeah, he's exactly right. We're $35 trillion in debt. These left-wing college campus institutions would be the first place to start with saving some of your money. Now, I do want to say, I think, at least at the University of Montana campus, it was a much smaller number. So I see that as an optimistic sign that the University of Montana is not, at least by and large, promoting this type of nonsense like some of these other so-called Ivy League institutions have been doing. I think you've also got, you know, a great professor there like Dr. Mehrdad Kia, who can educate students on the real history of the Middle East and current events as well. So I think that helps. But nonetheless, I just saw a tweet via X.com. Let's see. It's a conversation between Maritza Giorgio, Scripps reporter, James Conner jumping in on the conversation, Matthew Montfortin jumping in on the conversation. And then Kyle Schmock made the point, you know, nobody from the Montana Television Network, from NBC Montana, from the Missoulian, or some of these other liberal websites like The Daily Montanan, none of them reported this in their coverage. But when pressed by Matthew Montfortin, Maritza Giorgio says that, yes, the anti-Semitic hateful chant from the river to the sea was chanted by these by this relatively small group of protesters on the University of Montana campus. So there you go. Even on the University of Montana campus, you're hearing this hateful, bigoted, anti-Semitic phrase being chanted. And guess who was there right up front? That's right. He was there. Zoe Zephyr, the radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula. Steve in Kalispell, first up on the phone line. Steve, what's going on?
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit about these protesters. And it seems to me that when you look back at history, there's an interesting parallel. Just prior to World War II, We had a number of people in this country that were supporting Germany. They marched in the streets, wore the Nazi insignia, all thinking that Germany was the next best thing. And, of course, we see how World War II turned out. So it makes me wonder if we are really getting into a position for another big war.
Sure, seems like Biden and Tester are getting us into the brink of World War III, doesn't it, right?
Yes.
Steve, hold that thought. I got to take a quick break here on this show. If you got more you want to share, I'll start with you once again after the break. Or if not, if you said your piece, we can move on to other callers that are on the phone lines right now as well. 294-0970 is the number for you.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, actually what prompted this back and forth, so Matthew Monforton out of Bozeman, he asked a really good question here because, you know, all the media outlets were just cheerleading. When you look at their coverage, it looks like they're cheering on these pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers. Again, remember when we had that young man, Rory, out of Great Falls? Rory is a military veteran, and he's got an outfit called Bleeding Soldiers. And Rory called in. He said we were protesting in front of John Tester's Senate office in Great Falls. Nobody from the media would ever cover our protest. But look at the way they seemingly cheer on these pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers gathered on the University of Montana campus. But anyway, Maritza Giorgio, who's a very liberal TV reporter for Scripps TV, she shared this. Strike for Gaza protest just started at the University of Montana. One counter-protester just showed up with Israeli flag. Some charged words exchanged, but peaceful so far. So apparently, you're allowed to chant hateful, bigoted, pro-genocide remarks, but as long as you're peaceful, it's okay to be completely filled with hate, according to so many of these liberal so-called journalists here. Matthew Monforton said this, anything that says the quiet part out loud, e.g. signs saying from the river to the sea, will be omitted from any press coverage. Now, Maritza says no omission here. That was chanted at one point. Did not see any overt support for Hamas, but I know many interpret that phrase to mean so. Okay, so she mentioned that via Twitter, but that or via X. Did that get included in any on-air or online coverage by her or anybody else in the media that seemingly cheerleads every single one of these types of protests? Kyle Schmock made the point. Nobody from MTN, NBC Montana, the Missoulian, or some of these other outfits mentioned that. But there was Zoe Zephyr. There was Zoe Zephyr, the transgender activist that would be slaughtered in a heartbeat in the Gaza Strip because of the way he identifies. There he is, cheering on the pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers. Absolutely shameful. Stephen Kalispell, you had more you wanted to share. Thanks for staying on the phone lines.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to comment on the fact that here we are, according to Senator Daines, we're giving federal dollars to these educational institutions, and yet we turn around and pay off all the student debt.
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't that make them those colleges felt federal institutions because we're paying both ends of it.
Yeah.
Isn't that a form of socialism, frankly?
Good question. Well, you know, we're $35 trillion in debt. It's the easiest spot to cut right there is cut the hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funds that are going to these anti-American institutions. It's pretty safe to say that that's exactly what these places are breeding grounds for, these, you know, the Columbias and Yales and Harvards, et cetera.
Absolutely. And then one last comment on the press. Over 40 years ago, I got to listen to Ronald Reagan in person at a college campus in California. I was 16 years old, as a leadership conference, very impressed with his talk. That night, the Sacramento Bee wrote up his speech, and you wouldn't, I was appalled because it was like I wasn't even at the same speech. What they did to it and the way they perverted it was so disgusting, and that was my first education into what the press is really about.
Yeah. You know, that's why, like, when we talk about the importance of this U.S. Senate race this year, Steve, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. When we talk about the importance of the Senate race this year, you know, it's just, it's shameful, but you also have to laugh at it. I mean, you see how biased the TV stations are, by and large, the newspapers, you know, the major statewide newspapers. I mean, they've been biased for a long time, right? But now you kind of have to laugh at them because you'll see these, like I saw one of the reporters for NBC Montana, complete biased leftist, you know, and here he is just slobbering over some other liberal reporter as they're, you know, launching these false attacks against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. And I just kind of had to laugh because it's like, these guys think they still have the power they had in 2006 when they lied about Conrad Burns. They think they still have that power. They don't have that power anymore. There's other platforms. You have the power at your fingertips right now with your smartphone. And oh, it just gets under their skin because how many elections have they been able to interfere in with their biased political coverage? And they just don't have the power that they had back in 2006 that allowed John Tester to propel into the Senate in the first place. Next up, let's go to Thad in Billings. Let me see what line. Line two. Thad, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, mister. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. Kind of amazing to me is, you know, I read yesterday that Columbia University has over 320 properties in the state of New York. They're the largest landholder of properties in the state of New York. Why are we giving them any money? Why? I'm sure that they didn't inflate any of their property values, supposedly like Trump did. You know, I mean, when is this going to stop? I mean, it's just madness to me that we've got these organizations. I'm sure if you looked at Yale and Harvard and UCLA and all these other schools, they're worth big.
Oh, sounds like you're losing cell coverage there.
Well, there.
So sounds like you're losing cell coverage. You must be driving Eastern Montana. Looks like you're back on there, Thad.
There you are. I was just saying that there's, you know, that Columbia has 320 properties in the state of New York worth, you know, millions upon millions of dollars.
Oh, but if you own property, you're one of those evil capitalists, right, Thad? but if they own the property, it's all good. It's all good. No, that's a great point that you make there. And I hope that these Jewish students in particular sue the pants off of these institutions like Columbia University. Thad, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's see. Next up, we've got Robert in Belgrade. Robert, what's going on?
Okay, give me 30 seconds to get to my point. Anyway, the illegals are coming across the border a couple miles, and they're getting documented. They're given phones and food cards and everything else. I've heard from a pretty reliable source that watches things, but not positive, that they've tracked 1,000 of these phones to over 20 of the colleges where they're protesting. So I don't know, maybe you've heard that, or maybe you can hear them documented, or maybe somebody's heard that also.
Interesting, yeah. Well, that was more than 30 seconds, but that's okay, Robert.
well, no, it was before, you know, when I got to the, you know, the phones tracking them to the college. I was just telling.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I haven't seen that story, but it wouldn't surprise me because somebody made that point. I can't remember if it was Lawrence Jones or who it was, but they were making the point that there is commercial data that is available that you can go, anybody can go out and purchase this data from these tech companies, right? Where you can geolocate and you can know exactly who is at a certain location at a certain time. You can geofence the Columbia University campus, and you can geofence that, and you can find out, okay, look at all these dots, and you can find out who it is. How do we know that that is something that you are able to do? Well, there was that documentary about the 2020 elections. Was it 2000 Mules? Was that the one? Did I get the name right? But not only that, but the FBI used the same type of commercially available information to target people that were in the Capitol on January 6th. So we know that this type of information is available. But what we also know is they will not go after these rioters, these people who are harassing, threatening, intimidating, assaulting Jewish students, who are breaking windows at these college campuses. They won't go after them the way they go after peaceful pro-life protesters simply praying in front of an abortion facility, right?
No, they won't go after them. They paid to get them there.
Well, we know who is paying them, right? I mean, it's the federal.
Yeah, we are our tax dollars.
George Soros. I mean, there's a great piece at thefederalist.com this morning showing how the Rockefeller folks and George Soros's network is funding several of these groups.
Yeah, but more of them are probably funded by our tax dollars, thanks to our buddy Tester and Brandon.
All right. Let's see. Robert, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number. Mark in Butte, listening to KXTL. Great to hear from you, Mark.
Good morning, Aaron. It's good to talk to you. I was just calling in to remind Montanans and all of America, for that matter, that 13 years ago today, Butte native Rob O'Neill and SEAL Team 6 eliminated Osama bin Laden from the face of this earth. And I wanted to thank all our veterans and especially those heroes.
Amen. Yeah, I saw a great tweet from Rob O'Neill. I'm trying to find it here, where he was praising, I think he referred to them something like the best pilot. Oh, yeah, here we go. Where was it at? I thought I shared it here. Anyway, he was basically praising the best pilots in the world who, flew them in and back out of Pakistan for
Absolutely.
That raid.
Absolutely. They are some of the unsung heroes of that raid.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. This was actually yesterday, last night, 13 years ago. Now, of course, that was Pakistan time versus Montana time. But anyway, last night he said this: 13 years ago, right now, the best pilots in the world were taking my team home. For those who don't remember, they flew into Pakistan to get Osama bin Laden. They didn't think they were coming home, but they did. Mission accomplished. And God bless every single one of them.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The House Agriculture Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson shared his title-by-title overview of the bipartisan policies and priorities included in the 2024 Farm Bill. He called the legislation a product that happens when the development process is extensive and transparent, which included feedback from members of both political parties. Thompson says he plans to mark up his bill on May 23rd. Ranking Member David Scott of Georgia says Ag Committee Democrats presented a farm bill counterproposal to our Republican colleagues as part of an ongoing, years-long process that can invest tens of billions of dollars in farm bill safety nets without any cuts to SNAP benefits. It's reported that Senator Debbie Stabenow, chair of the Senate Ag Committee, a Michigan Democrat, will release her farm bill proposal today. Her proposal will include summaries and a section-by-section explanation, but will not include the text. And on Monday at the public auction yards in Billings, they held their replacement cattle special. Over 1,100 head of pairs and bred cows sold. 110 of 2 to 4 year old bred cows saw a price of $3,500 up to $3,750, with the 5 to 8 year old cows priced at $3,375 up to $3,500. Short term cows anywhere from $1,900 up to $3,500, while heifer pairs brought prices of $2,800 up to $3,750. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. Jerry in Wolf Point says this about the campus takeover. Jerry in Wolf Point, listening to KVZK. Campus takeover. if this were Native Americans on these college campuses, there would already be tanks and helicopters. Woo, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? But it's a bunch of woke, white, liberal leftists. And, just bring in the 2x4s, bring in the gas masks. Jerry, interesting message, Jerry. Thanks for that. You know, it's interesting how, you know, these white, woke, leftists, you know, pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers, they tried to pull the same nonsense in Texas, and they quickly got smacked down. They tried to pull the same nonsense in Florida, quickly smacked down. But the lawlessness continued in UCLA in California and continued at Columbia in New York. It's almost as if, they elect better people in Florida and Texas and Montana than they do in California, in New York. It's almost like there's something to it. It's almost like you could say there are some states that are red states and there are some states that are blue states. And somehow that matters. You could almost say that, couldn't you? Kelly in Glasgow sent us a message. The UCLA protesters were even demanding food and other supplies. They hate America, but by golly, we better feed them. Great message from Kelly in Glasgow. Sally in Sunburst, great point here. Don't let U of M or even MSU off the liberal hook just yet. And you're right, Sally. No, I Dr. Merdad Kia is a great professor at the University of Montana. But unfortunately, there's a lot of liberal professors that push this leftist nonsense. But at least they've got a good one like Dr. Merdad Kia there to counteract this craziness. But anyway, Sally says, I know two recent grads in the last decade from each university. The MSU one questioned me about what was better, socialism or communism. The U of M grad said she had to word her assignments to meet or satisfy the liberal views of the professor. That doesn't surprise me. Thanks to Sally in Sunburst for that message. You know, the other thing is we talk about, hey, if we need to save money because we're $35 trillion in debt, let's stop giving these left-wing anti-American college campuses like Yale or Columbia, et cetera. Stop giving them hundreds of millions of our dollars. That's what Senator Steve Daines said, as I shared with you earlier in the hour. So you think about it, that the massive government spending is what's driving up the cost of everything. It's what's driving up inflation. A couple weeks ago, I was able to sit down with Senator Steve Daines and several other folks, Turk Stovall with the Montana Stock Growers, Skip King with Ace Hardware, with King's Ace Hardware locations in the Billings area in particular. He's also got the Sydney location. And then, other business folks that were there. Jason Small with the AFL-CIO was in the house as well. But I asked Senator Steve Daines, because I thought it was an incredible roundtable discussion, I asked him what stood out.
Well, Aaron, thanks for being a part of that. You know, we heard directly from Billings leaders, business owners, about how inflation is crushing their businesses, their employees, their families. You know, I grew up as a son of a contractor, a small business, seen it firsthand. We're at a 40-year high under Joe Biden and Senate Democrats. It's up 20% since Biden took office. And this really is a shrinking of the paycheck. It's a tax on all Montanans, and the folks who are hurt the most can afford it the least. And make no mistake, we called the Senate Democrats out on this. Every Senate Democrat voted for that $2 trillion massive tax and spend policy right after Biden took office. Every Republican voted no. Every Senate Democrat, including John Tester, voted yes. I hope Montanans go back and contrast the voting record that where I've cast my votes and John Tester. We literally, Aaron, are on opposite sides on virtually every single vote in the U.S. Senate. John's voted with Joe Biden over 95% of the time. They're trying to cover that up right now because there's an election coming up. I think Montanans are seeing through that right now. But it's really important how you vote. It doesn't matter what kind of, you know, if you're a nice guy or not. What matters is how you vote back here, Aaron. And that's what's going to be so important here November 5th when it's time for an election.
All right. Well, Senator, I know you got to run. Appreciate a quick few minutes with you here this morning.
All right. Yeah, that was a chat that I had early Wednesday with Senator Steve Daines. Let's go back into your phone calls here, 406-294-0970. Anderson in Bozeman, thanks for the call.
Hi, Aaron.
How you doing?
Appreciate what you do every morning.
Thank you.
Hey, I was at Social Security office this week, and just a kind of a public service announcement. It's a little off the subject of what you're on today. But there's able-bodied 30-year-old foreigners. look like they could be track stars or maybe football, NFL football players. Don't speak English. And they're apparently applying for Social Security. Sat right next to them, waiting for my turn. And just people don't realize this. They have no, I can't imagine in a Social Security office, this isn't a welfare office, it's Social Security. I can't imagine any other reason they would be there.
Interesting. Yeah, I know we have folks that work for the Social Security Administration that listen to this show. Yeah, why would there be these young military-aged males that appear to be from different countries in large numbers at a Social Security office here in Montana? That's kind of a good question, right?
Well, it's a really good question, and they didn't speak English. At least while I was sitting next to them, they were not speaking English. And they were big, athletic, strong-looking dudes. Anyway, I just kind of a public service announcement. I, you know, talk about inflation and our money and our debt. And how are foreign illegals, I don't know, applying? What else are they doing at Social Security office?
Yeah.
Apparently, I looked up, there's a thing called supplemental social income that if you do not have resources, you qualify for whatever resources are.
Well, we know that there's illegal aliens in this country that are getting more benefits, more payments from governments than veterans are getting. And it's going to illegal aliens in Joe Biden and John Tester's America. Thanks for the call, Anderson. I know you said that your call was kind of off topic, but no, I think it is right on topic. I mean, when we look at the lawlessness that they're allowing on these college campuses today, it falls right in line with the lawlessness of our southern border invasion that's taking place right now. So it is very much on topic. But even if it wasn't, we've got open phones where you can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about. So I appreciate it. Anderson, thanks for calling in. I had a message here from Dennis in Columbia Falls. Happy Thursday, Aaron. I'm reaching out because I missed the segment where you mentioned the Venezuelan illegal immigrants being dropped off in the Flathead Valley. I had reached out to you recently when I saw them in prison-type white buses. Anyway, hope to find where you spoke about that. So it was a casual reference. I'm hoping to get a phone call. If not, I will follow up with a very credible source in law enforcement. The word I got is that there were some illegal aliens from Venezuela that were dropped off by some local Democrats in Flathead County, and and some folks in law enforcement are fired up, hopping mad about it. So, but until that source joins me on this show, that's all I'm going to say about it at this point. But I can tell you it is a solid source. We know what's happening, frankly. As to the prison-type white buses that you're referring to, that story, wherever you saw that story from, was not that was bad information. Those white buses, I mentioned it on the show around that time. Those white buses were not filled with illegal aliens. Those were National Guard, or actually, not, I don't know if National Guard. They might have been active duty. Anyway, they were U.S. Army soldiers that were conducting training in the Flathead Valley. That had been confirmed. And so those were not illegal aliens on those buses back then. But there were some folks who had made that allegation. Let's see, who do we got next? On the phone lines, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Marilyn in Lolo, what's on your mind?
Morning. So 2006, David Horowitz wrote a book called The Professors. And subtitle, The 101 Most Dangerous Academics in America. And in the word professors, he circled the letter F and put it in red. And throughout this book, I mean, he does just a couple pages at the most on each of these 101 most dangerous professors. And they're terrorists. They're convicted felons. They're jihadists. They are the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst.
Well, now they're getting full-ride scholarships to Northwestern, and Northwestern is pledging to hire more of them. Hold that thought, Marilyn. Got to take a quick break, and I'll come back to you.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, he shared this story. Northwestern University in Chicago, they have bowed down to the terrorists. They have caved to the terrorist demands. And they said, okay, if you stop these encampments on our campus, we'll give full ride scholarships to Palestinian students, and we will commit to hiring Palestinian professors. Absolutely shameful. Marilyn and Lolo, thanks for calling in. What more did you want to share?
Well, if you read this book, I mean, the quote in there that these professors have been noted of saying, the hatred for America and the hatred for white people and hatred for Christians and all of it, and capitalism and prosperity, whatever, you know, our values are here in America that have made this country great, they hate it and they want to destroy it. And this book has been out there for a long time, warning us, trying to warn us. And they have been the teachers that have been teaching these people in our country to be these people that are out there today.
Yeah.
And what I also heard was that 55% of the people on the Columbia campus, for example, and I'm sure this is like this at Yale and Harvard, et cetera, have foreign visas, 55% at Columbia.
I saw that. Yeah, that's crazy. Deport their asses right now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Get them the heck out of here. I mean, the ones that are partaking in this pro-terrorist sympathy, get them the heck out of this country. In fact, there's already a law on the books. If you are aiding and abetting a terrorist group, get out of here. You're out, right? Cue up the baseball umpire, you know, wind up the arm and point them out of the stadium. Get them the heck out of here. But no, Joe Biden and John Tester, it just came out earlier this week. They want to bring in so-called Gaza refugees. They'll call anybody a refugee and sneak them into this country right now. Marilyn, great to hear from you. Jackie in Reed Point next up. Jackie, great to see you at the General Flynn movie on Sunday.
Thank you. Likewise. I was talking to Ivan, the constitutional lawyer and the retired Green Beret. He had mentioned that in the House and in the Senate, there's something called a sergeant at arms.
Yeah.
And he says, if you've noticed, under Pelosi, Paul Ryan, and I think Brennan, they all had the same sergeant at arms. Well, now there's a new sergeant at arms, and that same sergeant at arms was there under McCarthy and now under Mike Johnson. And he mentioned that the sergeant at arms, there was so much information, but he said that they hold the dirt. They're the ones who keep the speaker, you know.
Well, they're basically in charge of they're basically in charge of Capitol security. I mean, I'm trying to think of so even in the Montana House of Representatives, we would have a sergeant at arms for the Montana House as well. And so like, for example, when Zoe Zephyr and the transgender activists were launching their transurrection on the Montana House, it was the sergeant at arms whose duty it was to resecure the place and get the place back in order and to protect our lawmakers who had things being thrown at them from these transgender activists.
I just thought it was interesting, though, that he made that comment. He says, who was a sergeant at arms? It was the same under those three and now under these, the last two speakers. It's the same sergeant at arms. And, you know, he has the insight. And I just thought it was interesting that a sergeant at arms would be, you know, have the dirt or whatever the exact words he used. There was so much information, so many people, so much corruption that some of the names I got a little confused. And just Mike Pence was so involved. He was in the thick of it. Was it his sister who was married? Who was married to the guy that was in the room when General Flynn gave his resignation to President Trump? I mean, there was just so much.
If people haven't watched that, if people haven't watched that General Flynn documentary, it's powerful. Oh, they need to give it a
very
watch.
Very powerful.
Yeah. So Ivan Raiklin, a retired Green Beret, if you guys missed it, I shared audio of my chat with him earlier in the week. It's on our Montana Talks website. But the most interesting thing he hinted at, he didn't say it, but he highly, highly hinted at it, is that all these deep state operatives that were targeting Trump, you know, top FBI folks, CIA folks, others, they have Twitter accounts. They were direct messaging each other via Twitter. Let's just say Ivan was, tap, you know, like the drill sergeant tapping his boot on the floor. What if their direct messages are available? And what if Elon Musk has seen these direct messages? Could get really interesting, couldn't it? Yeah, I thought that was interesting. All right, couple messages I got on the Montana Talks app before we run out of time. Drew in Columbia Falls, I'm curious as to how many protesters, not just on campus but off campus, are illegals getting paid. Yeah, the illegals get paid whether they protest or not. So, I guess that could be, same thing there. The illegals are getting your taxpayer dollars whether they protest or not. Dan in Wolf Point, or Dan from Vida here, there are a lot of good people that attend these universities that are having these protests. I saw a young lady speaking about this. It's tragic, isn't it, Dan? This is the point Dan makes here. This is tragic. 4 years ago, this young lady had her high school graduation ruined by COVID. Go to graduation, drive through the diploma pickup. Now she doesn't get to have a graduation again because of all these anti-Semitic leftists out there. No, it's just tragic all around what they're doing to the good ones, isn't it?